Welcome back. It's Farm Talk, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. On a Wednesday afternoon, it's our time for Stewardship Wednesday, brought to you by Agassiz Seed and Supply, always on the grow, providing great cover crop seed for everybody, whether it's grazing cover crops or cover crops to get rid of some of that water out there in the field. And today, we talked about in the past, we've talked about financial stewardship, obviously stewardship of the land. Today, we're talking about animal, livestock stewardship, and trying to tell the story to the consuming public out there that farmers do good with their animals. And we are visiting with the communications director for the Animal Agriculture Alliance, Casey Kindler. Hello, Casey.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Is it a beautiful day in the nation's capital there?
Oh, it is. It's finally below 80, so it's a nice fall day here.
Excellent fall. And as in your October newsletter, you go, fall is finally in the air. Pumpkin lattes are everywhere. I'm so glad we don't have pumpkin-flavored steak out there. I'm glad it just tastes like steak.
Yeah, definitely.
All righty. So should we need to tell the story of animal agriculture in a positive way, because there is so much misinformation and disinformation out there on the internet, on, well, in colleges and just around the world. People are getting the wrong information about farmers and farming, you know, the whole concept, factory farms and all that. What is a good strategy and what is a good story to tell regarding how folks who have animal agriculture on the farm, what's the best approach to be successful in telling the consuming public out there what really goes on a farm?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that farmers and ranchers can do, and I think one of the most important things is understanding who you're trying to talk to. So if you're only trying to talk to your neighbors and maybe your church community or your school community, then, you know, maybe in person, you know, talking to those people face to face is what will work best. But if you're trying to reach a lot of people, your go-to is going to be social media. So if you're not on social media talking about your farm, talking about how you care for your animals every day, then you really need to start, if that's your goal, in trying to tell your story. But I think one of the major things that we often forget is, while telling our story is great and telling, you know, how we care for our animals, whether you're a pig farmer or a beef cattle rancher, you know, whatever you do, one of the key things is to remember, how is this impacting the public? You know, include them in your story and tell them, you know, how you care for your animals on a daily basis. How does that benefit them? And so really, I think just including them in your story is something that a lot of farmers and ranchers and the whole agriculture industry can do a lot better job of.
Excellent point. I would assume also that if you understand who it is that you're talking to, that if you are talking to a radical anti-animal agriculture activist like PETA or some of the other lesser-known, even HSUS, that you might be wasting your time? Is that an approach that's valid?
Yeah, definitely. And we're actually doing, the Animal Ag Alliance have a College Aggies Online program, and that's exactly what we teach the students who enroll in the program, is to, you know, really spend your time where it's worthwhile. Spend your time talking to people who really, they're interested in knowing more, they're interested in food, they may not know everything about agriculture, and they may have some of those misconceptions or believe some of those myths out there, but they're genuinely interested in learning more and having a conversation, two-way dialogue. But if you're finding yourself kind of going back and forth with someone who's really not interested in having a dialogue, they're not interested in being open-minded, then don't waste your time there. You know, say it was a, you know, good conversation, nice to meet you, but, you know, stop the conversation and go elsewhere.
Casey Kindler, communications manager for the Animal Agriculture Alliance. And you have, of course, it's PETA, HSUS, that seems to get all the headlines, but are there more groups out there? Are there more anti-animal agriculture activists now? I haven't seen quite as many news events of people breaking into barns and turning mink loose, or, you know, getting sitting in turkey barns. I haven't seen that many in the news. Are they kind of settling down a little bit?
Unfortunately not. We always have to be vigilant, whether you're, again, a pig farmer or a hen and egg farmer. You know, they're always out there. Activists are ramping up their activity. Just because we don't hear it in the news as much doesn't mean it's not happening. So I think the news cycles have gotten a little bit tired of what the activists are doing, so they're not running the stories as frequently, but they're definitely still happening.
What are some of the groups that are doing that we aren't hearing about?
A few of the groups I would encourage people to be aware of are One Direct Action Everywhere. They're the group that is known for breaking into barns and to steal livestock. Again, PETA, HSUS, Compassion Over Killing is another one. So there's a ton of groups out there. We have some of the ones that have been around for a while, like HSUS and PETA, like you mentioned, but there's a new one every day, and a lot of local groups are popping up. So definitely always remember to be vigilant.
All right. You have an annual get-together, and I think last year you were in Kansas City. You're back in Arlington, Virginia this next May. And what is the theme and the name for the next Animal Agriculture Alliance get-together?
So our 2020 Stakeholder Summit is themed Primed and Prepared. So this year we are in Arlington, Virginia, and it is May 7th and 8th, so I encourage people to mark their calendars for May 7th and 8th. Hopefully you can join us in Arlington, Virginia. I know we get a lot more producers in the audience when we're in Kansas City, so we do like to go to Kansas City every other year, but this year we are in Arlington.
All right, and what would we learn if we were to attend?
Sure. So this year's summit is really, again, about those actionable items. You know, what can people take away from the summit to really implement on their farm, on their business, and just animal agriculture in general. But really, we want this year's attendees to leave the summit, get this primed and prepared, to have the tools they need to take action, be a part of any and all conversations that could impact the future of animal ag and their farmer business. So really, you know, have those tools in your back pocket, you know, no matter what conversation comes up, that you're ready to talk.
Primed and prepared. That's choice.
It is.
Yes. All right. When you are in Kansas City, who shows up more, cattle producers, hog, poultry, or is it a mix?
Oh, I guess it is a mix. We get a lot of different producers. We get a lot of local producers from the Kansas City area. We get a lot of people from Iowa come down, from the Missouri area. So a lot of different ones, actually.
And you give them, like you're doing with the College Aggies Online, you are giving people intellectual ammo to fight the fight of against anti-animal agriculture groups.
Yeah, so our College Aggies Online program, the winners will actually be recognized at Summit. So each year we recognize the winners at Summit on the national stage, giving them credit for, you know, speaking up for animal agriculture and being a really nice advocate for the industry. So this year we have over 300 students signed up and participating, and they have just started week 4 of the competition. So it's a 9-week competition.
Excellent. You know, it happens in so many families, and I know there's a lot of people who say, yeah, when I tell the story that you got a wonderful young person through high school, maybe a farm kid, maybe a city kid that's grown up in a small town. They go off to college, and then they come home for Thanksgiving, and they're vegan or something like that. Something happens at college. There is an organized effort to turn people against. And what's going on now, you know, started with Meatless Monday, and you know, whether it's Ellen DeGeneres encouraging people to eat less meat, there's a real organized effort out there.
That's right, and that's why College Aggies was formed in the first place. So it started back in 2009, the competition kicked off, and it was really because, you know, college students, again, whether they came from the farm background or they didn't, but they were interested in agriculture, but they were hearing a lot of voices from anti-animal agriculture, from animal rights activists on their campus. They were getting leaflets and getting pamphlets that were telling them to go vegan. And really, when you go off to college, it's the first time you're making those food purchasing decisions without your parents behind your shoulders. So really, the competition kicked off then to help those students who were interested in telling agriculture story and telling their peers and their teachers, you know, what they learned in class and their agriculture classes and back on the farm. So it really gives them the tools to become confident and effective communicators for the industry.
All right. Whether they're coming home for Thanksgiving or we just have challenges to meet, what resources do you have, either online or in print, for farmers to be able to tell their story and counter some of this bad information?
So we are, the Animal Ag Alliance is very active on social media, so I would encourage farmers and ranchers to follow us there, see what we post about. We post some resources there and some posts that you can share with your followers. But you can also go to our website at animalagalliance.org, and you can see a lot of resources to be proactive online, how to, you know, get your social media started. But also we have some resources on the animal rights activist movement, so you can get and stay in the know with that as well.
And for a really good read, buy the from your website, the book, What Would Jesus Really Eat? The Biblical Case for Eating Meat. Great book.
Yeah, so we helped bring together some really great theologians, some really great Bible experts, basically, to kind of tackle this topic because, again, the animal rights movement has made it its mission to, you know, to talk about how the Bible says you shouldn't eat meat or you should become vegan. And so we brought together these experts in Scripture, and we said, you know, what does the Bible really say? And so they wrote this book, and it does say you can eat meat and you can be thankful and blessed to eat meat. So I encourage people to look at that book if you're hearing about vegan influences or the Meatless Mondays in your local churches. There's a really coordinated effort by the animal rights movement, so I would encourage everyone to look at that book and see what the Bible really says.
All right. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for the work you're doing. Casey Kindler of the Animal Agriculture Alliance. And again, your website?
AnimalAgAlliance.org.
All right. Thank you so much for the work you do, and thanks for the visit, and we'll see you down the line.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. All right. And that's Stewardship Wednesday, Livestock Stewardship Today, brought to you by Agassiz Seed and Supply. Check out their cover crops, grazing cover crops, or cover crops to get rid of soil moisture this year especially.